Hello and welcome to the London Insurance Life podcast. My name is Annabelle Baker and I am one of London Insurance Life's 2021 bursary winners. I am passionate about making a career in insurance more accessible to everyone, no matter your background or the route you choose to get into the industry. And this podcast is about just that. Each podcast, I'll have a chat with a different guest about their experience at the London market and any advice they might have for how to get a role in the industry. I'm excited to say that today I'm joined by Emma White, who is a fine art and specie underwriter at Liberty Specialty Markets. Welcome, Emma. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Annabelle. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So you've been working at Liberty for nearly 6 years now. Congratulations. I understand that you first started out on a graduate scheme, so it'd be great to hear about the application process for this.
Yes, of course. So at first I didn't really think a graduate scheme was something I wanted to apply for. I'd actually heard some pretty horrible stories from friends who had gone through the Hunger Games style interviews against the other candidates, and it just didn't really feel like something I wanted to get involved in. However, I'm pleased to say this was not the experience I had at Liberty, and to be honest, I haven't heard stories of this happening in the insurance market in general, to be honest. I did go through around 7 stages. There were various interviews, an assessment day, and a few competency-based computer tests. I actually remember I was saving up to go travelling during the interview process, so I would log on in the morning before I started my job at the time to practice the tests, and I discovered there were quite a lot of the free ones online. So there are definitely things you can do to really get prepared and not get thrown in the deep end. Then the last stage was a presentation to the executive board at the time, which I was really nervous about, but on reflection, it wasn't there to trip me or anyone else up. We were allowed to present on anything we wanted to try and make us feel comfortable and show our passion for something. And I actually ended up quite enjoying it, to be honest. And then found out I had the job, which I was really pleased about.
Sounds like a really positive experience. And actually, I've heard about similar processes, as you say, in the insurance industry. So really good to hear about that. So what did the graduate scheme actually involve? Did you have the opportunity to experience a few different areas within the company?
Yes, I did. So that was what I really loved about the Liberty programme. So I spent time with different functions and teams and rotated around. So we were placed in a primary team. So I was in an operational projects team working for the COO at the time. Beyond that, they really encouraged us to build our own year and our network as much as we could. So I was always really interested in the underwriting side from the beginning. So I spent a few weeks with underwriters who insured a whole host of things from banks to lawyers to real estate agents to buildings for the property piece. So it was a real variety. And then I also spent time in the claims teams and also the corporate social responsibility team. So they look after all the charity fundraising events and initiatives, which is a really great place to meet people. And it was during one of those volunteering projects that I met an underwriter who worked in fine art and specie insurance. And hopefully I didn't bother him too much because over 6 years later and he is still my boss. So yeah, I did find it very interesting. So it's a good chance to meet people when you branch out a little bit.
So it sounds like you got a lot of exposure to various areas within the business very early on in your career, which is fantastic. But what made you decide to settle in the fine art underwriting team?
So after I spent a day with the fine art and specie underwriter at the Lloyd's box, I said to him at the end of the day, you do realise you've probably got the most interesting job in Lloyd's, which I think he was quite taken aback at the time with. But now that I do a really similar job, I think I still feel like that most days, to be honest. I find the class of business that that we underwrite absolutely fascinating. So it was quite an easy decision on my part. Obviously, with all these things, it takes some time to make sure just because you would like a role doesn't necessarily mean there's a space there. But luckily, over time, we made it work. Yeah, really happy that I found something that I really enjoy.
And just to take it one step back, we're speaking about fine art underwriting quite a lot. What actually is fine art underwriting?
So fine art and specie, as we call it, it's fine art is, as it says on the tin, it's often the work that we insure is usually big museums, galleries, private collections, auction houses. And then the specie bit, which is something slightly different, is a term for high value interest, so things like coins, precious metals. And then what we insure also extends to other quite exciting things. So we've insured dinosaur bones, fossils, wine. It's quite an all-encompassing term. And we also insure cash in transit, so armoured car vehicles carrying cash all around the world, and jeweller's blocks. So if you walk down the high street and you see a jeweller, we insure a lot of their items, and private jewellery collections as well. So it's quite a quite a long list of what actually encompasses that group.
Wow, dinosaur bone sounds really interesting, and it doesn't sound too much like fine art either. Is there anything else similar that you insure?
Yeah, so I guess the really interesting thing about what we do, and especially working in Lloyd's, is that you get a lot of unique and specialty risks. So if you were to walk into a museum, you don't necessarily see just paintings on the wall. So a lot of these items need to be insured somewhere, or at least the client would like cover for them. So it does, the definition does get a little bit subjective. So we insure some really exciting things, as I said, dinosaur bones, fossils, you obviously see them in museums, sculptures, ceramics, porcelain, musical instruments, classic cars, stamps, wine, the list does go on a bit. One of the ones we've seen in the past few years is obviously like collectible cards and collectible things that have value. So what we insure, we usually high value interests, of course. So that's the where the definition of fine art can vary slightly. But yeah, the world of Lloyd's insures some very cool things, and fine art is no exception to that.
That's such a variety. And you mentioned about collectible items, which obviously hold huge value to the person that owns them. But how do you value these items from an insurance point of view?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting one. We always require a valuation to have taken place before we insure them. So we have special appraisers that are in the industry that don't necessarily work for us directly, but will have appraised the works. So we'll be sent a schedule of the items to be insured, which have been appraised before they get to us. So we would always request that. So as you said, a lot of items hold huge sentimental value. Unfortunately, yeah, money wouldn't necessarily replace them, but they still have a financial label against them, which is what we will go for the insurance from. But that's why it's so important that a lot of people buy this insurance, because as you said, if something was to happen to them, they are irreplaceable. So we're just trying to mitigate that risk as much as possible.
So would you mind talking us through what it actually means to be an underwriter on a day-to-day basis? As I know the different roles of an insurance can be quite confusing, so I'm sure that our listeners would really appreciate an explanation of what you do.
Yes, of course. I actually still have an acronym list because I found the acronyms quite overwhelming to begin with, but I promise it does get a lot easier over time. So stripping it back to basics, I like to explain to my friends that it really isn't that much different to buying your home or your car insurance. Of course, for consumers, you log into a comparison website, for example, and you get your quote, and then you decide who you want to purchase your insurance from. I think of Lloyd's and the commercial world of insurance as quite similar to that, but just on a much larger scale, where you're targeting more corporations and larger businesses. So brokers, rather than the aggregation website, will work on behalf of their clients and will ask underwriters for quotes and negotiate the insurance on their behalf. And we're the underwriters sitting there on behalf of the insurers to negotiate that and offer terms on those risks. So we will take those risks for the year, and if something was to happen, we will pay out. So it takes the burden away from the person who's bought the insurance from having to spend vast amounts of money in the event of something happening.
That was really helpful. Thank you so much. So it's not as common as people think to find a career that you love straight out of university, but you were lucky enough to do that. So what would you say that you enjoy so much about being an underwriter?
There are lots of things I really enjoy about it. I think probably the most important one is the fact that you are challenged on a daily basis. You have to think on the spot and you have to constantly learn new things. So run up the amount of training courses I've been on, learning about new risk types, new emerging risks, technology. I've taken my underwriting qualifications. So it doesn't really end, which is amazing. But for underwriting specifically, we're considering such unique risks. So they require quite specialist attention. So none of our clients or 2 days at work are the same, which I love. It definitely keeps you on your toes. So 1 minute I might be reviewing fossils and dinosaur bones in a museum, and the next minute it'll be a huge $1 billion private collection somewhere on the other side of the world. So it really ranges. And also the industry is so social. So we get to work in Lloyd's of London, which if your listeners haven't Googled, it's an amazing building. We get to work in there, we get to meet people, brokers, clients. A lot of our clients are all around the world and they come to Lloyd's for their insurance. So I've been lucky enough to visit New York, Amsterdam and Malta in the last few months to visit clients and brokers. So yeah, it's a very exciting role. Fun never ends.
Absolutely. And there's so much variation, which definitely keeps it interesting. So as some of the clients are quite well known, I'd assume there have also been some quite high profile losses. It'd be great if you could tell us about some of these.
Yeah, I would love to, but unfortunately our clients are all very private people, so they expect us to be quite discreet and confidential, so I can't share anything too specific. But if you are interested in fine art losses specifically, there's lots of TV documentaries out there. You've just got to have a Google, and there's some really exciting things that have happened. I'm fortunate, but they are quite interesting to read about. So we typically insure risks on an all risks basis, which essentially means it's covered unless it's excluded. So that'll encompass things like theft, damage in a flood, hurricane, fire, accidental damage. So if someone's accidentally fallen into a painting, we've had in museums, people have tripped and put their hand through something. Unfortunately, it does happen. And then there's the real high profile things that happen as well. So there's been some really high profile art thefts in history. Again, if your listeners wanted to have a Google, there's some things that come up quite quickly. Some of these items, they don't ever get found, and there's large rewards for their recovery. So it's often stuff that you see in the news, which is definitely, I find, much more interesting because it's quite tangible and you can see it happening in reality.
Sounds like some very interesting cases, so definitely worth a Google. Thank you. As mentioned, you're now a few years into your career. So what would you say are some of the most important lessons that you've learned since entering the world of work?
I guess I'd recommend to anyone starting out in their career just to try and be as inquisitive as you can, really, without, of course, being too annoying, which I probably have been accused of in the past, but just to try and learn as much as possible, and also just maybe branch out into the wider company and your industry to see what else you can get involved in. As we spoke about earlier, you never know who you might meet or what you might learn. One of my favourite parts of my job, actually, that's come from doing that has been running an art award at the company I work for. So we partner with art schools and we select work for our offices, and the winners get cash prizes at the end of the development programme. For me, it's just been such a great opportunity to meet people outside of the industry, to meet people across the company as well. So I run a committee which has employees stretching from finance to business development. There's such a wide variety of roles that I probably wouldn't have ever met if I'd just stayed in my underwriting role. So it's amazing what is out there, and there are so many charity fundraising projects that a lot of insurers and brokers do, which are really exciting. So yeah, just to try and get out there and learn as much as possible and meet people.
Sounds good to me. I understand that you studied English at university, which many people wouldn't see as naturally lending itself to a career in insurance. But it would be great if you could talk about some of the transferable skills that you learned in your time at university that have benefited you in your role now.
Yeah, of course. So I think that's the great thing about insurance. For so many roles, you don't need to have studied a set degree, as there's so much to learn on the job, and most of the roles don't necessarily require you to have done a set degree. So as you said, I studied English literature, which you wouldn't necessarily think lends itself directly into insurance, but actually it course involved a lot of reading, analysis, writing essays, and I still do quite a lot of that with my job, especially the analysis part and certainly the reading part. There's a lot of survey reports, a lot of emails, claims reports, policies. So each contract we write is obviously a legal contract, so there's a lot of reading and analysis there. So I think my degree actually helped me out quite a lot, but equally we take qualifications on the job, so you're encouraged to take your ACII, which is your advanced diploma from the Chartered Insurance Institute, which is the insurance industry's professional body. So I completed them a couple of years ago, and I'm currently taking my FCII, which is the next step up. So there's lots of things you can do on the job to make sure that you're equipped for the role. I also took a fine art course at Imperial College last year, so a lot of the companies in the city are really encouraging of taking extra qualifications and the finances to support that, which is amazing. So definitely don't be put off if you don't think your prior studies and qualifications are not directly linked.
I completely agree. I think I'm actually shocked at the amount of different degrees people have done in the industry. And also no degrees. A lot of people have come straight from school and have equally got transferable skills from part-time jobs and just from the activities they got involved in at school. So definitely not a reason to be put off just because you didn't study economics, for example, or risk management.
I totally agree.
So what advice would you give to your younger self when you're applying for jobs at university? As I know, it can be a very daunting and quite a stressful time. So I'm sure our listeners would really appreciate any words of wisdom that you might have.
So My advice probably is a little bit unconventional, but I took a year out after university to work out what I wanted to do. Obviously, as I'm sure a lot of people that are studying at the moment know, it's quite full on. I was writing a dissertation, I was taking exams, and I didn't want really the long graduate applications to go on top of that and to be putting half effort into both. So I ended up taking a year out and I went travelling around Australia and New Zealand after I worked for a bit, which I thought was amazing, and I'd really encourage people to do that if it's something you want to do. Don't feel like you have to rush into anything.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your advice. So we're nearly at the end of the podcast, but I just wanted to finish up with two questions. So firstly, it'd be great to hear why you love working in the industry so much.
I guess it'd have to be for my class of business specifically. I just love how fascinating the clients, the industry, the subject matter is. So as I said earlier, if you see something on the news, often you'll know that it's going to come up in your day-to-day work, which I find really interesting. No 2 days are ever the same, which is definitely the best bit. And then I guess the travel as well, now that we're out of the pandemic, for me that's a really exciting thing, that we can get out there, we can visit our clients, we can understand things on a more practical level. I've read a lot of survey reports over the last few years, and to actually be visiting these people rather than reading an 100-page document is definitely a big positive. So that's definitely my positives that I get from it.
Absolutely. And I think on the travel point there, along with just visiting clients, there's also a lot of opportunities for secondments in other countries. It's an industry that lends itself really well to that because it's naturally a global industry. So if that's something that is important to you in your career, then I think insurance is definitely somewhere that would support that.
I couldn't agree more. And I think what's so great about so many of the companies that we all work for is if you put your hand up for these things, it might not be a possibility now, but you know, a lot of these things stay in the back of people's minds and you never know when it might come up. Or there are a lot of companies now that are doing rotation schemes exactly like that. And like you say, it benefits the company as well to have people that know what's happening in all corners of the world. So yeah, it's definitely a bit of a hidden gem in that respect.
And secondly, what are your main bits of advice for those that are looking to get started?
I guess it's just what we've sort of reiterated throughout. Be open to speaking to new people. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Learn new things. I think there are just so many different opportunities and roles out there that unless you ask and find out more, you might not know are there. So yeah, just be inquisitive.
Thank you so much, Emma. It's been really great having you on.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to get in touch with Emma for further advice, we'll link her contact details in the description box below. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to catching you next time on the London Insurance Life podcast.
Right, you are ready to rock and roll.
Hello and welcome to the London Insurance Life podcast. My name is Annabelle Baker and I am one of London Insurance Life's 2021 bursary winners. I am passionate about making a career in insurance more accessible to everyone, no matter your background or the route you choose to take to get into the industry. And that podcast is about just that. Each podcast, I'll have a chat with a different guest about their experience of the London market and any advice they might have for how to get a role in the industry. I'm excited to say that today I'm joined by Emma White, who is a fine art and specie underwriter at Liberty Specialty Markets. Welcome, Emma. How are you today? So, you've been working at Liberty for nearly 6 years now. Congratulations. I understand that you first started out on a graduate scheme, so it'd be great to hear a little bit about the application process. And what did the graduate scheme actually involve? Did you have the opportunity to experience a few different areas within the company? It sounds great that you got so much exposure to various areas within the business so early on in your career, but what made you decide to settle in the fine art underwriting team? Would you mind talking us through what it actually means to be an underwriter on a day-to-day basis, please? I know the different roles within insurance can be quite confusing, so I'm sure that our listeners would really appreciate an explanation of what you do. That was really helpful, Emma, thank you. Now, it's not as common as people think to find a career that you love straight out of university. You're one of the lucky ones. So what would you say that you enjoy so much about being in insurance, and especially being an underwriter? Fine art is one of the lesser known classes of business within insurance. Please could you talk to us about the products that you actually insure in this class? That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for clarifying. As some of the clients are quite well known, I'd assume there have been some quite high profile losses. So could you please tell us about some of these? Wow, they sound like really interesting cases. As mentioned, you're now a few years into your career, so what would you say are some of the most important lessons that you've learned since entering the world of work? I understand that you studied English at university, which many wouldn't see as naturally lending itself to a career in insurance, but it would be great if you could talk about some of the transferable skills that you learned in your time at university that have benefited you in your role now. And what advice would you give to your younger self when you were applying for jobs at university? It can be very daunting and quite a stressful time, so I'm sure that our listeners would really appreciate any words of wisdom that you might have. We're nearly at the end of the podcast, but I just wanted to finish up with two questions. Firstly, it'd be great to hear why you love working in the industry so much. And secondly, what are your main bits of advice for those looking to get started? Wow, dinosaur bone sounds really interesting, and it doesn't sound too much like fine art either. Is there anything else similar that you insure? Such a variety. You mentioned about collectible items, which obviously hold huge value to the person that owns them. But how do you value these items from an insurance point of view? Thanks so much, Emma. It's been really great having you on. If you want to get in touch with Emma for further advice, we will leave her contact details in the description box below. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to catching you next time on the London Insurance Life podcast. If you want to get in touch with Emma for further advice, we will leave her contact details in the description box below. Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to catching you next time on the London Insurance Life podcast.